This is In Conversation from Apple News. I'm Shamita Basu. Today, bringing the speed, sound, and drama of F1 to the big screen. Formula One is the highest level of motorsport.
Is it late again? Is it great again for Lando Norris?
Perez on the inside, Charles Leclerc gives him just enough space.
Piastri and Norris separated by nothing to 200 miles per hour.
It's a late lunch by Verstappen who takes the lead of the race. Through goes Hamilton. Unbelievable stuff. Lewis Hamilton wins the Turkish Grand Prix and is a seven-time champion of the world.
The cars are among the fastest and most advanced machines in the world, hitting speeds of over 200 miles per hour. The drivers are elite athletes, training their bodies to tolerate breakneck speeds and fine-tune their reaction times. And now, this fast-paced and high-stakes sport is coming to the big screen with the new Apple original film F1 The Movie, in theaters June 27th. The story centers on Sonny Hayes, played by Brad Pitt, a former Formula One driver who returns to the sport after a near-fatal crash to mentor a rookie, played by Damson Idris, and help a struggling team.
Some people look at Sonny Hayes, they see a guy who lives in a van, a gambling junkie who missed his shot.
Wow, Ruben, you are really selling this.
But I see a guy who makes teams better. I see experience. I see know-how.
You're off your meds. My rookie.
Director Joseph Kosinski and producer Jerry Bruckheimer are the creative duo behind this movie. You might know them for their work together on Top Gun Maverick, or Bruckheimer for his legendary action movies, including the original Top Gun, Black Hawk Down, and Pirates of the Caribbean. For F1 The Movie, Joseph and Jerry told me they wanted to make the most authentic car racing film they possibly could, so they embedded in a real Formula One season, attaching tiny cameras to F1 cars, filming actual races, and incorporating those real-life scenes into the film. Actors Brad Pitt and Damson Idris trained for months in order to drive F2 cars. Lewis Hamilton, seven-time F1 world champion and the GOAT of the sport, is also a producer on the film and helped make sure they got even the smallest details exactly right. Joseph started by telling me about what drew him into the F1 universe.
F1 is something that I would have been very interested in as a kid had I been exposed to it, I'm sure, just because I was the kind of kid who was into building my own radio-controlled cars and airplanes and rockets. My undergrad degree was in mechanical engineering with a focus on product design, so I was into all that kind of stuff. But it was really during the pandemic when, like many Americans, I discovered Drive to Survive. And
on Netflix.
Yes, on Netflix, which is a fantastic show if you haven't watched it. And the first season, they focused on teams that were not the winning teams. They focused on teams at the back of the grid. And to me, the story of the teams that lose every weekend, the teams that are struggling to make it even in the top 10, was fascinating. And that is kind of where the initial idea for this story and this film came from.
Mm. Jerry, what about for you? Of course, you did Days of Thunder in 1990 about NASCAR. Got sort of a similar veteran meets rookie storyline going there. It's been 35 years since that movie was made. How has the fandom changed for you personally? How has the sport changed, of course, so much in all these years?
Joe got me hooked on F1 because I didn't really know much about it. I grew up in Detroit, which is obviously a car culture, so I've been fascinated with cars my entire life and loved. I couldn't wait to drive when I was, 14, 15. I had my dad taking me to shopping malls, in the middle of the night or early in the morning to teach me how to drive. So it's always been a passion of mine. And Joe came to me after we did Top Gun Maverick and said, I have this idea to do a movie that takes place in Formula One. And he came up with a very emotional story set in this world. And what I love doing and been very successful at is taking you inside a world that you'll never be a part of and show you how it actually works. We've done it with CSI. We did it with Black Hawk Down. We did it with Top Gun Maverick. And it gives you the sense of being in that world and living with those characters and seeing exactly what their lives are like and what the sport is like and the thrills and the ups and downs. And Joe came up with this very emotional story about this older driver who has a chance to come back and right a wrong that he did when he was very young. And that's what really captivated me. So it adds even more drama to a very dramatic sport.
Mm. Joseph, you want to say a little bit more about how you developed the story here? What were your reference points? What were you trying to incorporate? What was important to you to include in the story building and world building here?
You know, there were some things I knew I needed to have in order to make this movie. You know, Formula One is famously a very expensive sport. I don't know if most people realize this, but every team builds their own car, okay? They don't buy things off the shelf. They actually have to manufacture every piece of their car. And often it's printed out at the factory just a few days before the race, then assembled at the race right before the driver gets in. So it's a very, very technical, demanding, and expensive sport.
Not to mention they're picking up everything and moving
every
time there's a race.
Yes, they're moving every week, yeah. So it's unbelievable when you actually get to witness it for the first time, which I did in the fall of 2021 when Lewis Hamilton, who, you know, the seven-time world champion, invited me to the Austin Grand Prix to sit in the garage and watch them assemble the car. And then he climbed in it and went out and drove it, which just blew my mind. And it was at that moment I said, I have to tell a story in this world. I have to show people what this sport's all about.
And of course, a big part of pitching this movie and how it would be made involved gaining this incredible access to the real season and the real athletes. I read that you actually went to go and meet with F1's president and CEO, Stefano Domenicali, to pitch the idea of this movie and fully integrating. What was the vision that you were trying to pitch them on to get this kind of access?
Well, yeah, the idea, you know, Jerry and Brad and I went to Stefano's office in central London and pitched this idea of shooting the movie at the real Grand Prix in between their practice and qualifying sessions, you know, building a garage next to their garages and shooting as much as we could during that weekend in order to capture the scale, the spectacle, the energy of a Formula One weekend, which there's really nothing like it. And this idea of capturing everything in camera was something that we had done in a similar way on Top Gun Maverick. So it just happens there is a giant IMAX screen across the street from F1 headquarters. So yeah, this was in February of 22. So it was a few months before Top Gun had come out. Turns out Stefano was a huge fan of the original Top Gun that Jerry and Tom did together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we invited him over to watch a sneak peek. And I would like to think our meeting went really well, but I think the screening certainly helped seal the deal and the cooperation with them. It's been invaluable. We couldn't have made this film without Formula One, and they've been an incredible partner every step of the way.
Jerry, anything you want to add about the filmmaking here and just what the process was like? I mean, what is it like on set when you are also balancing the very real sport that is going on around you?
It was like an army maneuver that we did. I had to have enormous precision. When you're working with F1, that's a precision sport. They go on the air 9 o'clock sharp. It's not like 9:01 or 9:02. So our cars, when they give us 5 minute slots, it's not 5:01 that you get off the track. It's 5 minutes you're off the track and that's it. Everybody had to be on the top of their game because there was no second chances. You did it and you were done and you had to get off. And the other hard part is, first of all, there was a lot of, I guess, skepticism from the various teams because what Joe did is he got Mercedes to build our car. And then you have all these other teams looking at, well, now Mercedes built this car, which means they're going to be the hero and we're going to be the villains. So right away, Christian from Red Bull said, uh-oh, this is not going to be good for me or my team. So it took us basically a year to sit with all the teams and explain to them that the competition is going to be with, between our two drivers, not with them.
Right.
And they're not going to be the villains. And it was a long year process to get them to feel comfortable. And even during filming, you could tell that they weren't quite there yet. But we just showed it in Monaco to all the drivers. And they came out saying, God, that is exactly the experience we feel when we're in those cars, the way he captured it. And they really liked it. And that is the most scariest screening for us, because these are the guys who are in the world, and you don't want to make a movie that doesn't capture what they experience. And we got it. So that was the toughest screening I think we'll have.
Let's talk a bit about the technicalities of how the film was made. I mean, this is the time and place to geek out about how, like, what you built, the cameras. I mean, tell me how you designed this and what were you trying to accomplish? What was your vision and what did you set out to do?
Well, Lewis said from the beginning that he had never seen a film that really captured the speed and the feeling of being in a Formula One car. He just said they're never fast enough. They just don't get the speed. And the reason is because camera equipment is big and heavy and bulky. And when you put it on a lightweight race car, it slows it down. So on Top Gun, you know, an F-18 is meant to carry a lot of weight. So the 100 pounds of camera gear we put in the cockpit on that movie did not change the performance of those jets. However, these cars are like 800 kilograms, so half the weight of a road car. And every gram you add to them slows them down.
I'm sure.
So it was actually Toto Wolff, who is the team principal of Mercedes. He said to me, he said, you need to start with a race car. Don't build a movie car and try to make it fast. He said, start with a race car and then try to modify it as little as you can to get your cameras on it. So I have to credit him with having that kind of instinct from the beginning. So what we did was we bought 6 Formula 2 cars, which is one class below Formula 1. These are still full-on, very high performance vehicles that are, you know, you have to be a professional to even get inside one. I would say they're, you know, 90% of the performance of Formula 1. We bought 6 of those. We took them to Mercedes-AMG, the Formula 1 team, and we worked with their engineers and aerodynamicists to modify the cars to make them look like Formula 1 cars. So they went through wind tunnel testing and aero development. We lengthened them, you know, lengthened the wheelbase. We designed custom bodywork, custom livery. And as we were designing them, we also built in 15 mounts for cameras into these cars as they were being built. There were spaces under the radiators for recorders and batteries and RF units and antennas. And we used all that space to kind of create a racing car that had 15 mounts for cameras. At the same time, my cinematographer, Claudio Miranda, who was also on Top Gun Maverick, and, you know, we had developed a camera system for that film with Sony. We took that system and we miniaturized it for this film. So what was, you know, the size of a toaster on Top Gun became a quarter that size. We called it the Carmen. That was its code name. And it's a IMAX quality camera, but in a very, very, very small package that allows us to put the camera sensor, the part of the camera that records the image, up in front of the driver's face. We had a couple locations for it. And then we ran wires down to the batteries and the recorders at the bottom of the car to actually record the image. So
how small is it in the end? You're saying smaller than a toaster.
I would say it's like a 4-inch square, probably 2 inches deep. And then we had these special tiny lenses. And then on top of that, I challenged the camera department with the ability to move this camera, because on Top Gun, our cameras were fixed. They just pointed directly back or directly forward. And I really wanted to be able to move the camera with the action. So that required a whole new innovation, which is a motorized panning camera mount that is recorded remotely that would pan the camera left and right with the action. So this was a year of development to get this system to work. It's all wireless, and we had to have antennas around the entire Formula One track so that we could both see the image and control the cameras while we were shooting.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah. So that's the short answer to
the I'm kind sure of, that's the short answer. Yeah.
to what we had to do to pull this off.
That's incredible.
And you can see the cooperation that we got from F1 to allow us to put those antennas everywhere. And what happens is you don't put those 15 mounts, cameras on those mounts. You put 2 at a time because you don't want to weight the car down. But the car was still doing 180 miles an hour and sometimes faster. So Joe captured that speed. And also what Joe asked Apple to do, he said, I want to take your camera from your phone. I want you to enhance it for me, and I want you to be able to put it on our cars. But what happened is he was able to take two of those cameras, which they developed, and put them on two of the actual F1 cars during every race. So some of the footage that you're seeing is actually in a race.
Oh, wow.
And they developed this amazing camera that was so tiny, it was almost a little bigger than a pinhead. That they were
practically shot on iPhone. Well, yeah, shot on a souped-up iPhone camera.
It's an iPhone camera that basically fit in the pod that is on every F1 car, and during the race broadcasts this kind of 720p footage, which is kind of half HD live during the race. But we modified it to record a 4K image and record it on board, so it's not being transmitted. That way you preserve the quality. And so at the end of the race, we had technicians run out to the cars and pull the pods off and get the footage. So yeah, at every race, we had between two and four cameras running in the race. And you'll see shots in the film recorded from those Apple cameras.
Wow, that's amazing. That's actually really unbelievable. It really sounds to me like this movie couldn't have been made if you hadn't started with Maverick first, right? It sounds like in so many ways, Maverick was a stepping stone, technologically speaking, for you to accomplish what you wanted to on this film.
I mean, for me, every movie is a stepping stone, but it's always been about trying to capture as much in camera as possible. Visual effects is an incredible tool, and we can create anything you can imagine. But if you start with real photography, there's something about that when the viewer sees it, it grounds the story in a way that full CG just doesn't. So there is incredible visual effects in this film, but it always starts with a real image captured in a real place and time. And since we were shooting real races, you're going to see real incidents that happened in real races. And hopefully when you watch the film, you feel like Brad Pitt and Damson Idris are driving right next to Lewis Hamilton and Max Verstappen and Charles Leclerc.
And of course, the other real thing being that these movie stars really were driving the cars, right?
Yes. Anytime you see Brad and Damson in the car, they were driving. And that took months and months of training for both of them. You know, I think Brad started from a position of having a good feel because he rides motorcycles. He's actually just kind of got a natural talent that Lewis was very happy to see from the beginning. Damson had less experience and, you know, in 3 months built up to the level where they were very both equally matched. I was nervous every day because, you know, what we were asking them to do was pretty intense. You know, having to drive the car and act at the same time, that's a lot going through your head. And the speeds they're going, one little mistake could be disastrous. So thank God we made it through with no incidents, and they both proved themselves to be really, really talented.
I mean, what does it take to keep Brad Pitt and Damson Idris safe over the course of filming a movie like this when they are the ones truly driving?
Enormous amount of practice.
Yeah, yeah.
3 months of being in that car. Audiences don't understand how difficult this is. People come to me and say, Jerry, did you get a chance to drive one of those cars?
That was going to be my next question for you.
And of course not, because first of all, the seat is molded to your body. You start there. Now, you take an F2 driver who's a champion and you want to put him in an F1 car. It takes him a week to figure out, before he can even get in the car, to understand the steering wheel, the braking system. It's so advanced. You can't imagine. This is like almost the aerospace industry and above. When you watch a race, you'll see the pit crew and you'll see people behind the Wendy house and you'll see that whole group of people. But back in England or in Italy, there's another 1,000 people on computers watching the heat of the tires, the brakes, all the different things that make that car go. That's the expertise that goes into building one of these cars.
And the physical demands, I don't think people realize, and I didn't realize, just how physically draining it is to drive these cars. The Formula One cars are pulling 4 or 5 Gs in the turns. So, you know, in Top Gun, we talked about Gs. which are kind of vertical, pushing you down into your seat, you know, and pulling the blood out of your brain and make you unconscious. In Formula One, the G's are side to side, left to right, and forward when you brake. And when you're pulling five G's in a left to right hand turn, the strain on your body and your neck to hold your head upright is enormous. And most people, after two laps in a Formula One car, they would be exhausted, not be able to hold their head upright anymore. And that's something that's very hard to train for. So Brad and Damson just had to do hundreds and hundreds of laps to physically train themselves to actually be able to sustain driving these cars. And, you know, it took, like Jerry said, months of training to get to that point. And even then, after a 10-minute session, they would both be wiped out. And then you think about these Formula One drivers that are going for 2 hours in the heat.
Wow.
And it's just, yeah, it's an Olympic level training, but it's just something you don't think about for driving a car.
Did either of you get into a car with a driver at any point to experience it for yourselves?
One of the first things we did when starting this was, you know, when I wanted Brad and Lewis to meet, we decided to meet at a racetrack here in the Los Angeles area. And we weren't in Formula Two cars, but we were in pretty high performance sports cars. And we each had one and we drove around the track together. And then Lewis gave Brad a ride in the car. And there's this section of the track where they told us, you know, you need to go in at X speed and no faster into this turn because that's the limit of these cars on that turn. I watched Lewis take Brad into that corner at two times that speed.
Oh my
and
God.
I saw like a puff of dust and dirt get thrown up because it was kind of out of my visual range. And then the car came back and I could tell Lewis had kind of intentionally scared Brad and to show him kind of what it means to be on the limit.
Mm.
And I think from that moment, Brad was completely hooked.
I'm sure. Were there any parts of the film that went through revisions and rewrites based on Lewis's input? Obviously he was there to provide all of this insight and expertise, but is there something that you'd originally planned to do one way that Lewis said, well, that's not realistic, or it would be better if it was this way?
I mean, tons of technical things, whether it's, you know, turn six is a right-hander, there's no curb there, you know, it's like every little detail of the racing, Lewis was, he just knows every track in a way that no one else does. But the one that comes to mind is there's a scene where Sonny Hayes talks about more of kind of the spiritual side of racing and why he does what he does. And that all came directly from Lewis. And I don't want to spoil that because it's a really important scene, but really gets to the heart of why these guys do what they do. And to hear it from a 7-time world champion was pretty amazing. And certainly one of those things I'll never forget.
As an example, he said to us, I think in like turn three at Silverstone, we had the car in like third gear, and Lewis said, now you're in second gear here. So just for the sound, he heard the sound of the shifting and said, no, you have an extra shift in there. You know, it shouldn't be in there. That's the kind of technical expertise that we got.
Fascinating. You know, there's so much talk about AI and what that will or could change about movie making, what it changes about what's possible visually. How much of this film is an ode to the manual craft of making a high-powered, spectacular action movie? Because it feels like that. It is.
That's what's interesting to me. You know, I love the process of making films and going to real locations, you know, shooting in front of real people, capturing it all in camera. That's what I love about my job. So I hope we can continue to make movies like this. I understand, you know, it takes longer. It's a lot of hard work. It's more expensive. But man, I hope audiences appreciate that this is a old school classic Hollywood movie shot for real. And I just hope we can keep doing movies like this.
This is an original movie done in a way that captures the excitement of why I go to the movies, why I wanted to do what I wanted to do. When I was a young kid and I sat there and I watched some of the great escapism and the big movies, I felt that emotion That's what this does. That's what Top Gun Maverick did. Mm-hmm. So this lives in that same world of that kind of entertainment. You got to see it on a big screen. You want to see it on IMAX. It's got phenomenal sound. It's really for everybody, and that's what I love making movies that entertain a wide worldwide audience.
Well, after all of this investment of time, of thought, of effort, energy, skill, it must be emotional for the two of you on the verge of having it received by the world. How are you feeling? What are you hopeful for?
Nervous, as always. You know, you hope for the best, expect the worst, but we're hoping this is all the energy and effort that Joe and all of us put into making this movie. Is audiences will see it, and that's the fun of it. When you sit in a packed house like we saw in Top Gun Maverick and watch people laugh and cry and cheer and walk out feeling better than they did when they walked in, that's what F1 gives you. Gives you that kind of feeling. And that's what we try to do every time we go out. That's the goal. We always say that we're in the transportation business. We transport you from one place to another, and that's what F1, the movie, does.
Well, I think it's fair to say that this movie will bring a whole bunch of new fans into the sport, people who maybe never imagined themselves watching racing, getting very, very into it, very involved and interested. But I also would imagine, my guess is, this is also going to be the kind of movie that inspires a whole legion of young people to say, wow, that's filmmaking. I'm very interested in filmmaking now.
I mean, that would be amazing. You know, I was inspired as a 11-year-old kid going to see Top Gun in 1986. And I knew from that point that if it, you know, had the Bruckheimer logo up front, a movie was going to be fun and entertaining. So now sitting here, you know, next to Jerry, having done my second movie with him, if we can inspire kids to go out and tell stories and make movies or race cars or design cars or build cars, that would be incredible. That's why we do it. And yeah, that would be great.
Joseph Kosinski and Jerry Bruckheimer, thank you both so, so much for your time. Really looking forward to seeing the movie.
So nice talking to you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time. Really appreciate it.
Director Joseph Kosinski and producer Jerry Bruckheimer are the filmmakers behind F1, the movie, out in theaters on June 27th.